morning. I don't know about you, but in my life, it's the cross that made a difference in my walk with Jesus Christ. If you believe that, let me hear you say amen. Amen. This morning, I invite you to turn with me to our opening text in the Bible, in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. That's Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. We're to continue on our series that we've been studying entitled The Ultimate Love Story, The Battle for Your Heart. And this is the third sermon in the series, and it's titled this morning, To See Him As He Is. To see him as he is the name of the sermon. And our opening text is in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 in your Bibles. Now, we've been studying about seeing God, and we've learned that as God's remnant people, we are to obey God, right? And keep all of his commandments, right? You believe that? Let me hear you say amen. Amen? Obey God's commandments. And not only the outside letter of the law, but on the inside of the obedience of the heart and spirit, right? You believe that? Let me hear you say amen. Now, in order to do that, before that step can even happen or ever happen, you must first what? What must you do first? You must we not love God first? Beloved, amen? Is there true obedience? Can faith work without love, according to the Bible? No. In order to have a faith which works of true obedience, your motivation must be purely out of love and only love this morning, beloved. If that's clear, let me say amen. Amen? But before you can love God, there's a step before that. You must what? Very good. You must see him first. His care, his glory, and what is God's glory? Is this his what? Character. And what else is God's character? God's glory is his what else? Name. And what else we learn in Exodus 33 and 34? His what? Praise God. Very good. Goodness. Very good. You know the Bible text, the answers. Praise God. So, recap. We must obey all of God's 10 commandments and obedient on the outside, on the letter, and also on the inside. But before that happens, you must be motivated only by what? Love. And before we can love God, we must see his character of love. And we're going to see that more clearly today as we go through the Word of God. So this morning, as we open his Word, we open his Word. May he open our eyes that we may see. Let us pray. Father, as your Word is open, we ask humbly that you may help us to see your character, in Jesus' name, amen. How is our heart? Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, knows the Bible says, the heart is what? What is that word? Deceitful above how many things? All things, and desperately what? Wicked, who can what? Know it. In other words, the Bible says, your heart this morning, my heart deceives ourselves. Is that not true? It deceives ourselves. Now, what does it deceive ourselves with? Well, first of all, it deceives us that we think that we are good, not evil. We think we're good. The Bible says no man is good. But we think we're good. And because we think we're good, we don't really need a Savior to make us good. Is that clear? Right? We think we're good. That's one deception. But my emphasis is not on that first emphasis. My emphasis is on the second thing that our heart deceives us about. And the second thing is this. Our heart deceives us into believing also, not only we're deceived in how we see ourselves, but our heart deceives us into us being deceived as how we see God to be also. In other words, we make God out to be a God that he is not. Turn me to Psalms chapter 50, verse 21. Psalms chapter 50, verse 21. And it's going to be clear as we see in this word, the word of God. So not only does our heart deceive us about ourselves, our condition, our true condition, but it deceives us into seeing who God is like. Psalms chapter 50, verse 21. What does God reprove us or rebuke us for? Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, God is saying to us, he said, these things thou hast done, and I kept silence. God says, thou thoughtest that I, God, was altogether such a one as what? Thyself, yourself. But I will reprove you and set them in order before your, what is those words? Eyes. In other words, through your eyes, through your understanding, how you see me, God says. You see me through your deceptive hearts to be a certain way. You thought that I was just like you with a sinful human nature, wicked thoughts and feelings, right? God says. But I'm going to set you in order before your very eyes. I'm going to reprove you, rebuke you for your deceitful hearts and how not only you paint yourself to be, but how you paint me as God Almighty to be. Is that clear? Let me hear you say amen. Amen? Amen. So we're looking at seeing God now. Because why does this matter? Because we're looking at full obedience of the 144,000, right? Before that happens, we must love God. But before we can love God, we must see God as God is love first, right? That we can love this God. But we cannot love this God if with our sinful human natures and our deceitful hearts deceiving us to seeing this God as being a God who he is not, right? We must see him as a God revealed in the Word of God this morning. Amen? Our only sure guide is this word. Not what you think or I think, but what God thinks in his word this morning. Amen? Amen. Do you see how important it is to see God? You see, that's why I love the word this morning. When I open the word and I study it, I'm looking to see, to know who God really is. Amen? And if you're not saturating your mind during the week and every single day in the Word of God, which is a revelation of God's character, if you are not doing that, you will not love God. And thus you're unable to be obedient to His Word. For the Word reveals His character. If you're not studying, looking for every aspect like a diamond of his true character of love, as you study the word, you cannot fall in love with God. And that's why it's important, beloved, that we open and we study and we look into and see God's character of love within his word of God every day, beloved. Amen? We got to be students of the word here this morning. Now, why do we sin, going along with this principle? Turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 6, according to the Word of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6. Notice what the Bible says here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6. Why do we sin? The Bible says here, whosoever abided in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not, what is that word? Seen him. Neither known him, understood, seen. In other words, the reason why we sin or we're not being obedient to the law is because we have not abided and we have not seen God, the Bible says, right? We have not known God. For the Bible says, for to know God is to what? Ah, very good. Love God. Are you following me? To see and to know God, as the Word of God says, is to love God, the Bible says, right? And if you love God, you will. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, right? You will obey my commandments, right? And so that's why if you go back two steps, if you don't see God to what he says, not what your deceitful heart says, but what he says it is, if you do not see God for what he says he is, you will not love God and you will not obey God. What would be obedience, but not be true obedience? According to the Word of God. Our deceitful hearts deceive us. In other words, we don't need a church to paint a false picture of who God is. We don't need
sermons to paint a false, give a false preview of who God really is. All we need to do is to listen to your own heart and my own heart this morning. Is that not true? There's no one to blame for anyone ever being lost or whatever. If we're ever lost, it's because of my own heart and your heart this morning. Is that not true? No one is ever to blame for me falling, but as I believe my own heart, the lies of my heart about who God really is, I will not love it and I will not obey him. Thus, my salvation is not secure. Our salvation is only secure, beloved, through Jesus Christ and not through our hearts, beloved. Amen? Self is our greatest enemy, is it not? Is self not our, you and me, my own heart, is it not our greatest enemy in this church? We could blame the person on the pew next to us, right? Could we not? We can sometimes even blame the leadership, which is the easiest thing to do. But really, the one that really needs to be blamed this morning, is it not me and is it not you sitting there this morning? Amen? My heart and your heart that is deceived this morning. Now, why do we commit evil? 3 John, turn to two books down. 3 John, verse 11. This is chapter 1, verse 11. There's no chapters, but let's go to verse 11. Notice what it says again. Why do we do evil? Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Be obedient. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil has not, what is that word? Seen God. The reason why we do evil is because we have not seen God. If you look at your handouts, please, here. This is going to break it down for you on the first line. I kind of made three stages. First of all, it says here, if we do not see God, God's character of love, you will not love God. That's the next phase. And then you will do evil, right? So go back, the opposite is true. In other words, if you see God's character of love, you will love God, and then you will be obedient and do good. Does that make sense? Amen? Now, the problem with us obeying God sometimes lies in the fact that we can present truth or even present truth in such a way that is true but seems unattractive. Is that possible? What did I mean? Let's look at an example here. Look at this handout here. This is while there was a little boy whose father was a surgeon, and this man came in to explain what his father did. So he read this, he said this to the little boy. He said, your father drugs people to unconsciousness. Then when they are helpless, he has them stretched on a table, cuts their bodies with knives, and sends them the bill. Now, is this true? It's true, right? But can truth be presented in a way? There's nothing wrong about this statement. But can truth be presented in such a way that it can present the person doing it or whatever, as a surgeon, as being unattractive? Can it be presented in such a way? It can it not? Because there's nothing wrong with this statement. It is true that his father did this. But the real truth is that his father really saves lives. Is that not true? And cannot we also, in our Sabbath school classes and our sermons, present truth and present truth that is true and cannot be denied, but also at the same time misrepresent the character of God in our statements and what we say? Could that be possible this morning, beloved? I present that it is this morning. It is possible this morning. Now, I invite you to turn me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. What happens, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, what happens when we behold the character of God? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. What happens when we behold the character of God? Notice the Bible says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. So you look into a clear glass, the glory. Now, God's glory is his what? Character. So through is that Paul is saying here, just like a glass, looking through a clear glass, seeing his character, beholding or seeing, right, his character. That's what he's talking about, his glory, right? And there's another place in 1 Corinthians that Paul also says that we see presently dimly through a glass God's character, right? So we see dimly, but one day we're going to see it, right, face to face, his real character. But at this point he says, if you're able to see God's character through a glass, his character, what happens to you? The Bible says the character of the Lord are, what is that word? What is that word? Change. Whenever you behold his glory or his character, you are changed into the what? Same image from, what is that word? Glory to glory or character to character, right? In other words, as you behold or as you see the character of God's love, you are changed from character to character. As you see more of God's character, you change. You see more, you change, right? And that's why inspiration says, by beholding, you become what?
Change.
Very good. You know that quotation, right? So as you look upon the character of God, you are changed. In other words, the seeing, right, and the changing is concurrent. In other words, the seeing and the beholding, when you're seeing and the beholding, the seeing and the changing happens at the very same time, beloved. Are you seeing that this morning? Beholding becomes changing. As you see the character of God's love, you are changed into the very image of God this morning. And the more you see, you're changed and changed. The seeing and the changing happens at the very same time. When Jesus comes, how will God's people see Jesus? Turn to 1 John 3, verse 2. 1 John 3, verse 2. Notice what the Bible says. First John 3, verse 2. What about seeing him and changing? The Bible says, verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not appear what we shall be. At this point, we don't know how we're really going to look like when Jesus comes. Especially referring to the 144,000. But notice what it says. But we know that when he, Jesus, shall appear, we shall be what? Like him. The 144,000 will be like Jesus, right? They're going to perfectly reproduce the character of God, right? During the time of the time of trouble, they're reflecting the character of Christ. They'll be loving each other, right, fully. In other words, they'll be obeying all of the Ten Commandments because love is the fulfillment of the law, right? The first four is the love to God. The last six is love to one another. So they're reproducing the character of Christ perfectly. We're told the inspiration. In other words, our goal is to strive to be part of that 144,000, beloved. Amen? To be strive, they call them the special forces in the last days. To be part of that. Now, not every one of us is going to make it. Because not many of us, or maybe not all of us, is able to go to the time of trouble. So God in his mercy is going to allow us, some of us, to fall asleep because we're not able to make it. So when Jesus comes, we're going to be like him. The special 144,000 will be like him. Why would they be like him? Notice the Bible says, for we shall, what is that word? See him, but not only see him, but we're going to see him as what? He really is. Amen? We're going to see him as he really is. In other words, the true transformation of character is only by beholding your change. In other words, the last message of mercy that we come to a world, right, a dying world, is a revelation of his character of love. Amen? Why is that message come down from heaven that reveals his character? It's because in order for us to perfectly reproduce his character, a message must come down first that will prepare us to reveal his character when Jesus comes again, beloved. Amen? And so the message comes with a revelation of his character of love. In other words, beloved, we must be ready for Jesus coming. We must be ready and strive to be part of the last day remnant people. But it only happens if we first see his character of love in our lives, beloved. Amen? And proof and the fact that we do not love God this morning is because we have never really seen Him. Is that not true? And proving the fact that we are not obedient to the Word of God and the Spirit of prophecy that we know is truth, right? And we're disobeying God's Word is proof to the fact that we do not really love God truly with all of our hearts this morning. Is that not true? Now we can pretend all we want. But the fact is, the more you read the Word and the Spirit of prophecy, we know, and I know in my heart, we truly do not love God, right? And we have never truly seen God. And we can pretend all we want and fake it all we want, but we are not being the people that God has called His remnant people to, beloved, in these last days. We're truly living a Laodicean life. And God wants us this morning to change by beholding His goodness this morning. Now, I want to see this handout here. Look at our handout. It says here, the fourth one. It's clear, when we see Him as He really is, when we accept the message that God has given to us that reveals His character of love, when we see Him as He really is, the character of Christ will be perfectly reproduced within your life and my life. Amen? Amen. Now, what is Laodicea's problem? Turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. Revelation chapter 3, verse 18. Notice what the Bible says. Revelation 3, verse 18. Notice what the Bible says. What is Laodicea's problem? The Bible says, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in a fire, yeah, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. And notice what the Bible says, and anoint your, what was that word? Eyes. Why? With eye salve, that thou mayest what? See. What is one of the problems with Laodicea this morning? That Laodicea cannot what? See. But does Laodicea believe that it can see? Yes. Laodicea believes in their heart that they can actually see. See what? They can see God's character. But if they really saw God's character, their lives would be living, they would be living different lives, wouldn't they? But the fact that they're not living the life according to the Word of God is proof enough that Laodicea does not see. Do you see that? So the problem with Laodicea is that Laodicea does not see, but they think they see. But the proof that they don't see is that fact they're not living the life that God has called them to live. Thus, they do not see. Do you see that this morning, beloved? Amen? I hope you see this morning. Laodicea does not see this morning. And that's why God needs to anoint our eyes with eye salve so they realize that we are blind to the truth of God's character and thus be healed so we can see this morning. Now let's look at the story of Paul. Turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Let's look at the life of Paul. How faithful was Paul before he was converted? Acts chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. Bible says about Paul, and Saul, before he was converted, he was called Saul. The Bible says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, against God's chosen people, went unto the high priest. And the Bible says, and desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. When it came to serving the church, Saul at that time was very faithful. When it came to the faithfulness of the truth, Paul was zealous for the truth. When it came to obedience to the law of God, Paul said, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I kept the letter of the law. I kept all the commandments. I kept all of the law There was no more a greater man that was faithful to the law than Saul himself. Now, even though Paul was zealous for the truth, who did he not know? Verse 3, notice what the Bible says here. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? When God spoke to Saul, he didn't know it was the voice of God, beloved. Even though he was faithful to the truth, and even though he was faithful to the church, he did not know God. He had not truly seen his character. He did not know who he really was. Even though he was obedient to all his commandments that he felt he was, when God spoke, he did not know him at all. Now, look at verse 17. After being, he is blinded by light. What first had to happen before he was able to see? Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 17 and 18. The Bible says here, And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. In other words, before Saul was baptized, he first had to see, beloved. Amen? And before Saul was able to see, the scales had to fall off from his eyes before he was able to see. Now, according to the Bible, what do scales represent? Look at the last quote here from Job chapter 41, verse 15, talking about the Leviathan. The Bible says, his scales are his what? Pride, shut up together as with a close seal. So scales represent the pride. In other words, Paul's pride of opinion of always having to be right and knowing the truth had to fall from his eyes first, beloved, before he was able to see God for who he really was, beloved. Amen? He had to... The pride of being right and knowing the truth, like Laodicea, had to fall from his eyes and he had to be humbled. And then and only then was he then able to see God for who he really was. And beloved, some of us here need to have the pride of our own opinion and being right and knowing the truth needs to fall from my eyes and your eyes first before we can truly see who God is as revealed here in the Word of God this morning, beloved. Amen? Unless it falls from your eyes, you will never see. Unless your pride of always being right falls from your eyes, you will never see. Thus, you will never truly love. Thus, you will never truly be obedient to all of his commandments. Does that make sense this morning, beloved? Amen? You cannot see when you're blind. And you cannot see when scales are still over your eyes. Our pride must fall as it did with Paul. Now, let's look at another story here in John chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. John chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. What happened? There was another blind man. John chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. What happened to the blind man? Jesus, verse 6 said, And when Jesus had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle, and then with this clay he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay over his eyes, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came, what is that word? Seeing. He was blind, but now he sees, right? He sees. And he went around proclaiming, I can see. And guess what the church leaders did? Remember the story? They came up to him and says, you were never blind. That's why you see, you've always saw. Then they went in and they said, ask my parents. So they asked the parents and they were afraid of being excommunicated or disfellowship and said, you need to ask him. And they were trying to trap him with his wordings. But he came to a point and he was frustrated. And finally, look at verse 25. What did he say to the religious leaders in the church? The Bible says, he answered and said, they're accusing Jesus to be a sinner, to be evil, that his character was evil. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, whether Jesus is a sinner or not, whether his character is wicked or evil, I do not know. I know not. But one thing I do know, that whereas I was blind, now I see, beloved. Amen? And whatever you may call Jesus to be, whether it's presented in a way that's truthful, it can still misrepresent the character of God. And you may not understand all the Bible texts, but there's one thing that you need to know, and one thing you need to say to people is that, where I may not be able to see everything, but I know this one thing, that my God is truly good this morning, beloved. Amen? Our God is still merciful this morning. Our God is a loving God. Our God gave his life on the cross of Calvary for you and me here this morning. And our God loves us because the Bible says God is love here this morning, beloved. Amen? And that love would change your heart. It transforms your life, your motives. You see his love. You will love him in return. And then you will obey him according to the word of God. That is the God I serve this morning. How about you? Amen? What did Jesus then say to the Pharisees concerning this blind man? Look at verse 39 to 41. Notice the Bible says, he went to these same religious leaders, Jesus, after he healed this blind man, and said, Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not, or those who are blind, might, what is that word? See. I came for those who are blind to give them sight so that they can see, right? And they would see, or think they see, right? They think they see, might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words and said unto him, are you saying, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin, because all are blind. But now you say, we see, when really you're blind, therefore your sin remaineth. Your sin remains because you say you see, but in reality you're blind. Therefore, you're totally lost because there's no hope, because not because I won't save you, because you do not want to see God's true love and thus be transformed and changed and be transformed into a new character, beloved. Amen? Do you see that this morning? Do you see our need of Jesus this morning, beloved? Do you see that we need to see his character of love this morning? How is it with you this morning? My question is, do you realize this morning that you really do not see? Or like the Pharisees, do you believe that I see already? I already know the truth. I know the Bible already. I know it all. I don't need to go to church. I can go once in a while. I don't need to study. Or I can just go to church and I can just go to Sabbath school. But I don't really need to look and study in the Word of God because I already see. You ever thought like that before? I don't need to open my Bibles. I just open on Sabbath morning because I already see. Could that happen to us this morning, beloved? Could we have the scales of pharisaical pride still clinging to our eyes, but believing that we see, thus deceived even more? This morning, God wants us to see. And the Bible says this morning that God's remnant church is blind this morning. And my question is, do you believe that God's remnant church is blind? Or do you believe that we see? God's church, according to His word, the Bible is clear. We are blind. And we can't call God a liar by saying we see and we don't need anything more. But God wants to open our eyes and help us to see who His character really is, that we may be changed from character to loving character. And the fact that our church is spiritually sleeping is proof enough that we are blind here this morning and we really need to see. And God wants a scale to fall off from the eyes of the Laodicean church here this morning, that we may see His character of love and thus be changed into His very image, beloved. Amen? God wants us to be transformed. And beloved, are you willing to see? And my next question is, do you even want to see this morning? Do you want to see? Do you really want to see this morning? My question. I'm blind this morning. And I need to see a revelation of His character of love as the final message of warning of mercy given to a dying world. How about you this morning? Do you believe that? If you believe that, would you raise your hand to me in commitment this morning? Amen. We all need Jesus. I need Jesus. Let's depend upon Him to open our eyes to see. To see His goodness, His mercy, His love, His long-suffering, His kindness, His forbearance, His patience with me and you this morning. I want to see this goodness that leads me to repentance. How about you this morning? Amen. We need to see so we can go home. How about you? Did you want that, beloved? Amen? Amen. I want to see Jesus face to face one day and see His goodness. Our closing hymn is 206.